if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast 222. This is our 2022 3M Open plus Kazoo Classic tips podcast. Paul Williams and Barry O'Hanrahan join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selections for this week's PGA and DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more info. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website with our in-depth betting previews, tournament strokes gained analysis, tournament form statistics, form charts, including combined course plus current form, our PGA Tour and DP World Tour predictive optimizers. All of these features, like this podcast, are completely free of charge with no paywall. We are available on Twitter. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. You can join our Golf Betting System Facebook group. The link is available in the description box. There was plenty of chat on the Facebook group during the Open last week. Please look out for the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where I present the Golf Betting Show every week. Please subscribe and like the shows. And let's get to the... I know a lot of listeners, they love this part of the show, chaps. The five-star reviews. We did get some decent reviews come in last week, so thank you to each and every one of you. As I always say, we need more, so leave your name and where you are in the review, and I will read them out on a future show. So keep them coming. Here's one. Superb podcast on golf betting. 5 stars. Really enjoyable podcast. Huge amounts of info provided every week. Really in depth, but delivered with plenty of humour. And the chaps even occasionally pick a winner. !! Smiley face. Thanks for your efforts, chaps. Much appreciated, and keep up the good work. And that is from Lewis. And Lewis is in the lovely county of Shropshire in the UK. Thank you, Lewis. Much appreciated.
Yeah, thanks, Lewis. Yeah, we do like to occasionally pick a winner. Clearly not last week at the Open, but we live to fight another day.
Yeah, we did great last week, didn't we? Cheers, Lewis.
Now, it's hot. There's no... There's, I don't know about you chaps, but in my recording area, it's roasting. I've been listening to all these podcasts and watching YouTube content over the last few days, and literally everyone on them is, you can just see the sweat flying out of them because they're having to shut themselves in a room, keep the sound down, the quality of the podcast record, and they are frying alive. And we're in the same situation this morning. It looks like it's going to... I saw in my car yesterday 39.5 degrees Celsius when I went to pick my son up at 4:30 in the afternoon. Mm. I've never seen that in the UK, that level of heat.
No.
And I'm 49 years of age.
It's pretty toasty.
It is toasty. It makes you appreciate, actually, when players go to somewhere like the 3M Open this week and you're seeing in your weather forecast, you know, 34, 37 degrees Celsius. You think, this is what they're kind of playing in a lot of weeks of the year. So, show this golf calendar, it can be quite, especially for the guys on the PGA Tour, the actual extreme heat a lot of them play in from week to week shows you have to be quite fit to do the golf game.
Yeah, it's hotter over here though, guys, isn't it? When it's warmer, it feels hotter over here in the UK and in Ireland as well, Barry, doesn't it?
Well, because we're not acclimatized to it. Yeah, we've got like... Your blood stays a bit thicker when you're in cooler climates, so it takes a while to adjust. So if the guys are on tour over there in the States, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, you know, they will start to adjust to it. If they're there for a longer stretch, then, yeah, it doesn't hit you as hard. But still
and the
doesn't make it easy.
That they've got in most rooms that we haven't.
Yeah, but if you're out in the course of five, you're, they're outside for minimum, let's say, 5.5-6 hours, including warm up and then practice, and then their full round. And they're, I mean, it baffles me why they're still forced to wear trousers. I cannot understand how the PGA Tour hasn't just jumped on that and done the whole shorts thing straight away. It's another chance to change the little old school thing on the tour. You know, look, yes, the trousers looks kind of cool and professional and all that stuff as well, but there's player welfare to consider too. And sometimes they're playing in temperatures that are absolutely bananas. So anyway, off the rant about trousers, can we talk about
so far in this very insightful podcast that Lewis, that Lewis was talking about, we talked about extreme heat and players wearing shorts. It's the kind of content that people are flocking to. What we're trying to do, listeners, is put off this inevitable chat about the Open Championship last week. My Open Championship boiled down to, first thing to say, congratulations to all of you that were on Cameron Smith. We did get right the idea of the weather and the actual scoring. So 20 under won it, which I think tied what Henrik Stenson did a few years ago when he won in that duel against Phil Mickelson. But let's forget about the scoring. We had a lot of to-ing and throwing and debate on the Facebook group about St Andrews not being, you know, how can you let a major be won at 20 under and the course isn't fit for purpose anymore? And then there was a lot of debate saying, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. It's a links golf course. And if the wind had been blowing at 35 miles an hour from the southwest all week, the scores would have been 4 under, which is absolutely valid. And probably, you know, that's links golf at the end of the day. And we say it year in, year out. Links golf and the difficulty of the scoring is all about the wind strength. So anyway, let's park that. But congratulations to Cam Smith backers. There were masses and masses and masses and masses of them. I took a grab Monday as the markets formed, and he was 28-1 with William Hill, that 9 places each way promotion. So congrats if you're on, Cam, and many thousands of you are. My Open Championship betting card boiled down to Kevin Kisner in the end. And I was sitting there with a glass of something cold, watching the leaderboard and watching a bit of the golf in the garden. And I just harked back to how cruel golf betting can be. Because I backed him with Bet365 at 250-1, 8 places each way. And you think at the time, you think, well, yeah, that's a great price, which it was, fantastic price. And you're comparing it to what other bookmakers are offering. Now, Kevin Kisner was as short as 100-1 with other books that were offering more each way places. And at that very point, you're then sitting there going, well, he's tied 9th coming up to the par 5 on the back side on Sunday. Good God, I wish I had more places on my bet. But, you know, when you're sitting there on a Monday or a Tuesday and you're thinking, well, I cannot physically take the step between 250-1 for 8 places and 125-1 for 10. That gap is far too wide. I'm doubling my stake effectively here for 2 places.
Yep.
Doubling my odds for 2 places. I cannot stomach that huge gap.
No, it's a judgment, Steve, isn't it?
And it's a judgment thing, isn't it? But at the end of the day, it mattered. It didn't matter at all because he started throwing in a couple of bogeys on the back nine and the dream was over. I mean, 250-1, if he'd have got top 8, I was sitting there, you know, we all were, because I think we all had the same bet. We were all sitting there on a 50-1 each way return. And it's that is golf betting, isn't it? You're literally on a knife edge with a player that's right there with a huge chance, and it can go either one way or it just goes the other, and all of a sudden it's just a total and utter disaster. I did also have Cantley in the places as well, so Cantley actually brought me a little bit back. But interesting with Cantley. I think that's the first major for quite a while he's actually kind of been a factor in. So that might be something to take on board when we get to the Masters in 2023.
Yeah, only 260-odd days left until we get there, eh?
Yeah. let's keep this pain as short as possible. So let's just go through. You two talk about your Open Championship and let's try and get it done in a couple of minutes. And then just kind of ease the pain.
Go on, Barry, you were trying to get in there.
I was about to say, I can tell you that having Kisner 12 places was just as painful.
Oh, you had him 12. What price were you on that?
I've already forgotten. It doesn't
and
matter.
And you had the exchange, so you did the mix and match, didn't you? So you had places and you had it on the exchange as well, which was clearly
exactly, yeah.
At that point, yeah.
So, no, not at all. I mean, the exchange was dead and buried.
That was dead within nine holes on Thursday.
Yeah, and it's sometimes it's like ripping off the band-aid when your bet dies immediately. You're like, okay, we're like, moving on. Yeah. Let's start. I mean, I didn't even put on a bet in running during the tournament. Once Friday morning had materialized, I realized I was just nothing was going to happen, and I'm just going to sit down and watch it and enjoy the tournament. And then that little bit of hope of Kisner on Sunday morning was was dashed. So, look, it was a bit of a pain from a betting perspective, but like forgetting that, I really enjoyed watching it. I watched an enormous amount of it, and you know, I've lots of thoughts on the course and the championship and the way it all went down and different permutations of it. But I really enjoyed the whole week. I thought the best golfers found their way to the top of the leaderboard. There were various ways to avoid getting to the top of the leaderboard. Death by a thousand cuts, where you just cannot stop making bogeys. Or you could have little mini blow-ups, doubles and triples. And, you know, yes, it was more of a drive and pitch or drive and putt course. But that was the challenge this week. It's a shame that it's kind of got to that. But I thought, overall, it was a fascinating watch. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it would be interesting to see a ball change for the pros, at least, before they go back there in 2030. Because if they don't do something about it, most of the field will be driving, like, what, 8 or 9 of the par fours by that stage.
Yeah.
So, but for the most part, yeah, very, very enjoyable week. And Cam Smith deserved a win. He showed up on Sunday and, you know, had a really hot putter when it mattered. And Rory had a cold putter on Sunday, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Go on, sorry. You go.
Yeah, ultimately, that's going to be the differentiating factor. We've seen it before with Cam Smith, haven't we, where that putt can just catch fire at the point at which it leads him to win a golf tournament. And would he come back in 30 strokes in the end? Rory, he burnt a lot of edges, didn't he, on the final day? And, you know, on another day, it could have been so different for him. But you can't take that away from Cam Smith. As you say, there were so many backers. He must have been the single most individually backed player of that tournament from what I could see. And
must have been very damaging for the bookmakers, that result.
That's certainly a week for the punters. Cam Young caught the eye again, didn't he? And that's the second really strong major performance from him over the last few weeks and months after, what was he, third at the USPGA in the end, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's up inside the top 20 in the world now. We're fully expecting him to get that PGA Tour win. But
I put a comment on Facebook group yesterday. People will be slagging Cam Young off in a few events' time. Oh, trouble with Cam Young, doesn't win. He's a bottler. Bottler, can't win. And then you'll probably find he'll do exactly what Scottie Scheffler did. Next year, he'll win one, and then boom, all of a sudden, Cam Young's a regular winner on the PGA Tour. Just to put this into context, I actually manually got all the strokes going data yesterday. Cam Smith was 19th for tee to green, which isn't what you kind of usually see on any event. And of course, he was first by quite a considerable amount in terms of strokes gained putting.
Yep. Well, that was evident from what you could eyeball on Sunday. I know he's got to do it for the rest of the event, but when Cam Smith's on fire, it's that putter that does all the damage. His magic wand.
There's an interesting, in terms of, I was trying to think about why and how we missed picking Smith and ended up kind of looking at Xander and other options. And I think we can very easily dismiss a couple of poor weeks for a player as, oh no, his form has tailed off. Which, you know, on the face of it, was probably what we saw for Cam Smith. Like, oh. And then he had one, you know, he played okay at the Scottish Open. But before that, it had been messy. And it was just one thing I wouldn't consider in that. I heard on, I don't know where it was, but during the week that he had focused his game, you know, obviously focused on timing his form to come hot for this week. And so I never really thought about it that a guy could almost, not purposely, but just be messing around to such an extent. Yeah. I don't know. I just haven't kind of thought about it in that sort of approach, like that he was trying to time his getting, you know, just trying to time himself for it. It was, I just consider it as, oh no, he's not playing that great. But shows how good he is to be able to like peak and nail it this one week.
Well, 10th, as you say, at the Scottish Open, and was Scottish Open was a good signal that he'd found something, or that he was playing well enough. There was an on-course interview. I forget which day it was. It's either Tuesday or Wednesday, where he was playing a practice round, and they came over and talked to him about what he'd played and the holes that he'd played, and he basically said it was a very light warm up for him. You know, he wasn't going around and religiously playing full rounds of St Andrews before to get himself acquainted with the course and to prepare himself. It was really just a case of, you know, loosen up the shoulders and be ready for Thursday. And at the end of it, that's precisely the way that it worked for him. He was fresh and ready to go, ready to win.
Missed the cut of the US Open, so that other trend's completely shot to pieces. If you actually go through the trend and all the work we did, Rory McIlroy would have been the rightful winner. And to be fair, he was in control of that tournament. I think he would have. If Rory had won, he was the rightful favourite. If Rory had won, that trend would have continued. Blah 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 blah. But can you think of another elite player? I'm talking elite level player in the last 10, 15 years that can putt as well as Cam Smith when he's on a roll.
Well, Jordan Spieth, when he was at his best, and you could see Spieth winning events in a similar kind of fashion where the putter just does all of the damage, but Smith is outstanding, isn't he? You stand him over a 15, 20 footer, and right now there's very few players in the world you'd rather have standing over that putt.
Yeah, if at all.
Mm.
That was it. Like the true ones were like Spieth and then Tiger back in his pomp.
Yep.
Justin Thomas, I think, had a streak of maybe 3 or 4 months where everything he looked at went in. But certainly that hasn't been sustained as long as Smith. Like it's unbelievable. Mm. It was kind of fun. I mean, as much as I was cheering Rory, like not having any kind of financial skin in the game kind of made the final round quite enjoyable to watch, you know, because I really like Cam Smith as well. And so, as gutting as it was that Rory didn't win, still it was a very satisfying win as a viewer. It wasn't like a, I don't know, somebody who's not kind of top of my list. So,
yeah,
I'm not even gonna have the conversation about did Rory McIlroy throw it away, because I'm not even entertaining. I just think, I just think it was a particularly an amazing major championship with, you know, three players that got themselves to the head of the leaderboard, and you know, when you're hitting five birdies on the trot on the back nine of a major, that's someone winning a major, not someone throwing it away. And then you got Rory, of course, that didn't make a bogey in his last on Sunday, so that isn't throwing a major away in any way, shape or form.
No, I was about to say, like, that's a very, you know, just probably not a fair way to kind of even, or fair phrase to even bring up. I thought he just hit it a bit too safe, but then one of my friends pointed out to me that he actually had a bunch of good chances early on, and when I thought about it, oh my God, he actually did, because it seemed like there were a few holes where he hit it way too safe, but just a cold day with the putter. Yeah. How funny, like, just, I mean, let's move on a little bit from Rory. How funny is it, like, poor Cam Young, like, shoots 65 on the final day of a major. Now, it felt, I don't think it was quite a competing second place because of that eagle at the last. Like, he wasn't, he got that really hot start, which I suppose it's weird. It feels like it was all about Cam Smith, but Cameron Young was probably there or had it at such a stage, but that streak of five birdies, it's a phenomenal final round, really entertaining. Yeah, it's just hard to kind of put it into words, really, I suppose. But yeah, it kind of bridged that gap with the eagle at the last. And that was brilliant in a way because it forced Smith to make that putt. You know, it wasn't a kind of a freebie then.
Yeah, it was worth what, $500,000 or something to him, Cam Young, that eagle at the last.
That's nice.
We've now got some statistics on tour tips, Paul. It's been backfilled by Stanley, which I haven't seen so far. Cam Young was second for driving distance, 320. Rory, first for driving distance, 324. Fleetwood finished fourth, 314 off the tee, ranked 10th for driving distance. Hovland tied fourth, 314 off the tee, 11th for driving distance. So second, first, 10th, 11th in the top five. Cam Smith, driving distance, 302, 61st for driving distance.
Mm.
I assume that's all drive, Steve, is it?
I couldn't tell you. I think those particular driving it's difficult to tell. Whether they're all or whether they are just on a couple of designated holes, I couldn't tell you. I don't know where Sammy's pulled it. He must have pulled it off the open website.
Yeah, yeah. What last thought on you?
I mean, that just shows you that St Andrews was just, it was playing bomber friendly. Apart from Cam Smith, who just putted lights out. His putting average, though, was actually It was actually less than Cam Young's. 1.57 for Young, Smith 1.63. But Smith, 85% greens in regulation, which is pretty phenomenal. Clearly, the approach play and the putting won it for him over just pure driving. He's insane. No, he's still 303 off the tee. It's hardly it's not pedestrian, is it? But yes, bomber friendly. But inevitably, a true bomber didn't actually win it, which we have seen before with Zach Johnson. Shall we move on? Shall we actually move on to the guy? I know we don't really want to. The week after a major is always bad, and the week after the last major is always particularly painful. It used to be the Wyndham Championship, didn't it, after the PGA Championship? But now we've got the 3M Open. The 3M Open in Minnesota is our PGA Tour stop-off this week. Looks like we've got some withdrawals overnight as well, which I need to... Mark Hubbard looks like he's disappeared, and Charles Howard III. I'm just looking at... There's a few decided they can't be asked. I tell you, I've got a question, and I am still seeing players that have gone to live in the top 125 in a FedEx Cup. I would love to know from one of the listeners what's actually happening there. So for this, are we going to have a situation where the FedEx Cup is actually going to be 120 players because, for example, if there was five live players in the 125, clearly they're not going to play? Or are they going to extend it out to 126 to 130 and they get in? Don't know. I can't see that happening because they're effectively handing out tour cards for 125, aren't they?
Yep.
But I'm still seeing live players in loads of in all the PGA Tour statistics and in the FedEx Cup standings. And clearly, they're not going to be playing in the FedEx Cup playoffs. So I don't know. I would love to know what the situation with that is. That all seems to have been either not mentioned or I've missed it. So if anyone can clear that up, email us or tweet or do whatever way you can to contact us. Right, this week, 3M Open. Tony Finau is the 42 is 14-1 this week. The favourite, which is slightly concerning. 16-1 Hideki. 20-1 Sungjae Im. We've got that sprinkle of quality at the top end. And then we're kind of, I wouldn't say back to alternate kind of Barbasol levels, but it's pretty weak. McNealy, 25s. Adam Hadwin is 25s in a place. Davis Riley. Sahith Tigala, Cam Davis, all 25-1. Cameron Tringali, 28-1. He's on the post-it note of doom at my end. Brendan Steele at 35-1 with Ches Reavie, Adam Long, We're out also JT Poston, who won a few weeks ago. And then we're out to 40-1 Martin Laird, 45-1 your friend and mine, Barry Adam Svensson. I wouldn't be surprised if you're on Svensson. And Nick Hardy is a 40-1 actually, Nick Hardy. We're then 50-1 and above there, Gutter Up, Ryan Palmer, Brendan Todd, and Jason Day sitting there at 60-1. It's not the best. I don't mind it as a betting heat. I don't mind it. And I don't mind the tournament, actually. I remember the first year we came here, I was on DeChambeau. He got beaten by Matthew Wolf, who was 175-1 that particular week to win the tournament. And we have seen some quite juicy winners win this. Champ was 150, Thompson 125. Champ was 150, Thompson 125, Wolf was 175. So the overall winning average of this tournament so far is 150-1. That's pretty mad. The tournament itself takes place at TPC Twin Cities, part of the TPC network. It's an Arnold Palmer design. I categorise it as resort, but actually, if the wind blows, this becomes a bit more mid-score, as we saw last year. I think 15 under won it last year. It's a par 71. It's pretty long, 7,400 yards for a 71. I always think this tournament and this golf course reminds me a little bit of PGA National, where they played the Honda Classic, because there are 15... This is what makes me laugh about this golf course. There's 15 of the 18 holes with water in play, and Tony Finau plays it every year. Work that one out. He's actually got a decent record here, so maybe I'm slightly unfair with Tony on courses that feature water. The greens here are 6,500 square feet, so they're not quite St Andrews, but they're a lot bigger than the ones we've been seeing on the PGA Tour recently, which have been closer to 5,000, if not smaller. They feature bent grass greens. Two of the three winners in Matthew Wolf and Cameron Champ are what I would classify as extreme bombers. That's something that was in my mind. Clearly, Michael Thompson isn't and never will be. Got a great beard, Michael Thompson. I'm quite jealous of his beard, it has to be said.
Yeah, not sure that improves his driving distance much.
I don't think it helps on the driving distance side of things, no. But great beard, Michael Thompson. I noticed he managed to squeak himself back into the 125 yesterday, last week, with with the spots.
Yeah, starting to get that point of the year, isn't it, where needs must.
Needs must. One player who I did actually look at for this... It's just an angle, isn't it? I mean, I tried to play Matt Wallace a few weeks ago because he's in serious card issues. He needs to do something at some point. Otherwise, he's losing his PGA Tour playing privileges. So there are some players down in that 150, 125 range that you could look at just because they are simply right. You know, they're in the mud at the moment. They're in serious trouble. And they need to pull something out of the fire, otherwise they're not playing PGA Tour golf next year. So that's an angle to look at, I think. It's your usual suspects, isn't it? Chess and Hadley's one that could pop up this week. Sam Ryder's in a bit of trouble. And Matt Wallace is sitting 150-1. You know, a couple of years ago when Wallace was in the world's top 50. Harry Higgs is another. Higgs started to percolate last week. He always plays well in California. Higgs is outside the 125, but quite a stretch at the moment. The one I might have added at a big, big price was Brandon Hagee. He's a huge bomber and has played well here in the past. He is struggling to keep any kind of playing privileges at the moment, so Hagee needs a result. The other one that did kind of pop up, and I just couldn't stretch there. He got a top five last week and hits the ball a long way. This Scott Gutchewski. I don't know if he could have a follow-up week. Scott Kaczewski.
Yeah, he's one of those players that catches your eye, given that his price hasn't, well, he's still at least 200 to one or thereabouts, I think.
Still 250 to one out there.
Mm.
And that's off a top five.
Yeah. Yeah, a lower grade. Well, a low grade anyway. But yes.
This isn't much higher, mate.
No, no, it's not, no. I semi-correct myself then, yeah. But yeah.
Mm. I've gone down the bomber route. So weather-wise, it's actually, it seems to do this here every year. You pull the preview together on a Monday and it looks pretty calm and nothing. And all of a sudden, you keep checking Windfinder and all of a sudden the wind starts poking up. I think we're looking at 15 to 20 Thursday, gusting 15 on Friday. So nothing huge. Weekend looks again, gusting 15 throughout, northerly winds. I wouldn't be surprised temperature-wise, it looks like it's kind of like here at the moment, 32 to 35 Thursday and Friday. Cools a little on the weekend to 29 degrees and 27 degrees Celsius. I think, again, it's going to be a typical 16, 17 under. I think with the wind forecast as it was yesterday, I was predicting more 18 to 19. So I think 16 to 17 wins this. I do see when I look into the winners here, and you also look at players of the ilk of DeChambeau, Morikawa and Wolf. I mean, that was a great 2019. You had Morikawa, DeChambeau and Matthew Wolf fighting it out for victory here. Clearly, that was at the very early start of Wolf and Morikawa's PGA Tour careers, and Wolf has now cleared off to live. But looking at courses where they've done well is an angle for me. And also, I've gone back to look at someone like Kenny Perry. Now, Kenny Perry's record on this golf course is crazy when they played the Seniors Tour here. It's absolutely mad what Kenny Perry did here. He was a three-time winner on this golf course, 2014, 15 and 18. He was also second, third, seventh and seventh. So you think to yourself, well, if Kenny Perry loves this golf course so much, where did Kenny Perry go well when he was on the PGA Tour? 12 tour titles Kenny Perry had. He had three wins at Muirfield Village. So that connects straight away to Bryson DeChambeau, and that connects straight away to someone like Colin Morikawa. He was a two-time winner at Colonial. Both of those have done well at Colonial. And also wins at PGA West, the old Bob Hope Lottery. TPC Deer Run, obviously the John Deere Classic. TPC Scottsdale, where they play the Phoenix Open, and TPC River Highlands, where they play the Travellers. So those are all events that Kenny Perry won. And I do see across, even you look at someone like an Adam Hadwin, who's got an excellent record here, Adam Hadwin. Done well at the John Deere Classic, done well at Colonial, decent record at Phoenix. So there's something in these courses and players that can play well on these courses that seem to feed into winners here. So that's an angle that I've also taken on it. Let's face it, it's a bit of a dartboard this week, isn't it? Who do you go with? I have gone for Sahith Tigala up top. 25 to 1, 8 places each way with William Hill. I think 40 PGA Tour events Tigala's now played, and I just love what this guy does. He's a proper golfer, Sahith Tigala. And just look in 2022 where this guy has done well. Right, third at Scottsdale. Kenny Perry's won there, tick. Fifth at Muirfield Village. Three-time winner Kenny Perry there, tick. He also finished second at River Highlands when he was standing on the last tee tied with Xander Schauffele a few weeks ago. You just look at those three places, he's had top five finishes, all Kenny Perry country, definitely. He's also had, last year he dropped down to the Corn Ferry. Well, he didn't drop down, but he played the Corn Ferry to get back onto the PGA Tour to qualify for this year. Finished fourth at Ohio State University. So he seems to play well in this kind of Midwest area anyway. I just think Tigala, 16th at the John Deere Classic. That was the week after the meltdown on the 72nd hole at the Travelers. I think he shot a 79 on opening day at the John Deere Classic, so he'd have been down in like the last place. He then finished 16th in the end, cleared the cobwebs, got back to how he's been playing. And then last week, I'm sitting there watching the goal from Friday, and you just see Sahith Tagala creeping up, and he got into the top eight going into Saturday at St Andrews last week, Tagala. On his first ever visit to St Andrews at an Open Championship on a Lynx golf course. You just think, this guy's a bit of a special talent. So if you're looking at a talented sort that, you know, that's close to winning their major and PGA Tour title, I think Tagala's got to be very close, if not at the top of that list at the moment. So I'm on him at 25-1. I also put Cam Davis in there. Cam Davis is, for me, he's a future top 50 in the world player. I don't think that's too far away. Still in the mix for President's Cup spot. And he's coming in here off of 8th at the John Deere Classic, 6th at the Barracuda. He's had a top 10 at Colonial. He's also had a 3rd at PGA West. A winner last year at Detroit Golf Club. And he defends that 3M Open title next week. I don't think that's a bad thing as well. I just think Cam Davis is playing the kind of golf. He's long off the tee, very free scoring. He was 12th here in 2020, coming off form of miscut. And he was 6th that year going into Sunday. So I think if you put Cam Davis in 6th this Sunday, based upon how his career's progressed, now he's a PGA Tour winner, now he's challenging for President's Cup spots. So I think he's up to top 70 in the world now. 73rd in the world, Cam Davis. I think Davis would hang around and challenge for that win. If you put him in a situation this Sunday, I'd like him in 6th spot this Sunday, going into the final round. So at the top, I've taken 25-1 on Davis. I've taken 25-1 on Tagala. I need a slurp of tea. Can you two help me out with some tips or some views, please?
Yeah, well, I've only backed two personally. One of them was Mark Hubbard, who's sadly disappeared from the betting, which is a bit disappointing because I'd quite.
He realised you put a fiver on him, mate. So it's game over at that stage.
And he has played quite a bit of golf recently, so. I could kind of understand that he may be a bit jaded, but coming off the back of 3rd and 4th place finishes and 16th here last year, I was really quite excited about his prospects this week, but that's paid to that. The one I have backed that hasn't actually dropped out yet is the big Swede Henrik Norlander, who I've not even looked to see what his FedEx Cup position is because it must be extremely bad. He's missed something like 13 of 16 cuts or something like that this calendar year so far. But last week, 31st overall, kind of masks the fact that he was in second spot going into the weekend and third spot going into the final day at the Barracuda. Playing some much better stuff compared to where he was previously and previously in the year for 2022 as well. 23rd here at the 3M on his one and only start back in 2020 and actually improved all the way through that. 70-70 first two rounds, then 67-65. So got to grips with the course. Comes back here having shown that spark of form. And this is a guy, he's extremely streaky. If you look through his record, there's an awful lot of miscuts in there. Yet, every now and again, there's that real nugget of form. 4th at the Sanderson Farms in 2020. Second at the Farmers Insurance Open back in 2021. Just the odd, decent contending performance. And 200-1, I was happy to take that on. But yeah, he's the only bet that I've still got standing at the moment. So I'm going to have to take a deeper look and see if there's something else I can use my refunded Mark Hubbard money for. Although, to be fair, a refunded stake on Mark Hubbard could be a good result for the week. So, we shall see.
It is one of those weeks where really you just want to probably go to Skegness and enjoy the week rather than get involved with the betting. But we can't do that because we have to cover every week of the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour.
What about you, Barry?
I haven't looked too deep into it, surprise, surprise, but just kind of blind backed Svensson. Guy's playing well. It's Steve,
I got
Steve
to the stage where I could have added Adam Svensson, or I could have added Chris Gotterup. And I added Chris Gotterup, and you've gone for the one that's probably going to win it. So congratulations.
That's fine. Yeah, well, I mean, Gotterup's on the temporary post-it note because he shouldn't have played the week that we backed him. So, yeah. Anyway, Svensson, and another one was just trying to find something at long odds without putting. This golf tournament's the week after majors. Just I need decompression time, so just, I don't have the mental capacity to dig too deep into things. So I just want to grab a couple of quick bets. Almost, it's a bit irresponsible and loose, but yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. One I came on to was Michael Gligich.
Mm.
Don't know if I've named the name is correct, but 26th and the 49th here the last 2 years. Top 40 in his last four events, including a top 10 3 ago, and hitting plenty of looking a bit deeper into that then beyond it before I put the bet on. He's last two events, very good greens in regulation. Last three events, particularly the John Deere and the Barbasol, which you can get stats for. He's kind of got to that like mid-teens score under par. So he was over 100-1.
If you look at my top strokes gained current form last 8 weeks, Brendan Steele is number one. Nick Hardy, number two. He was level with Charles Howell III, and Charles has decided he's going to stay in Florida for the week. Tony Finau is tied with Michael Gligich. That's how well Gligich has been playing. And it's all the putter. All putting. He ranks second the last 8 weeks for strokes gained putting behind the one and only Brendan Todd, who, as we know, is a decent putter. So Gligich is seeing the hole like a bucket at the moment.
The Cam
it's not
Smith
a bad
effect.
Thing in a bit of a birdie fest, is it? It has to be said. I think he's Canadian, Gligich. So I think the bent grass and the... You know, we're in Minnesota, you know. We're up in the kind of territory that Gligich will feel very at home at. I did have a very close look at Gligich. What price did you get on him?
What did I do? I went for the longest. Hang on. 110.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a bad one. Not a bad one.
Yeah, he's from Ontario, which is, I guess, not a million miles away from Minnesota in the grand scheme of the size of the world.
No.
It depends what... Sorry, I need to dig into what part of Ontario he's from, but yeah, I mean, it's bordering on Minnesota.
I tell you the one I went with at the end at that price point, 110-1. I got this on Bet365, and people, eight places each way are 50 odds. Now, I used their extra places functionality, each way extra, Bet365. So their standard proposition is five places each way, a quarter of the odds, as we know. But you can then go onto their app and scan through, and they were offering yesterday eight places each way at 50 odds. I think it was nine places each way at a sixth the odds, Paul. Is that correct?
I think it was it 10 at the seventh, something like that?
10 at the seventh.
Basically, it's a grid matrix. You can choose what you want. Now, I managed to pick up Callum Tarran on there with Bet365, eight places each way at 50 odds, 110-1. And that Callum Tarran, I just think he's a talented lad, an English lad. County Durham. I say he's a lad, he's 31 years of age, but he's just been, ever since that opening round at Brookline, where he was amazingly, I think, second or third place after round one at the US Open, he's just a player that I keep looking at. And wherever he plays, he's firing in low rounds, and he just hasn't pieced the whole puzzle together. Apart, lo and behold, and we keep talking about correlating courses, sixth at the John Deere Classic. Sorry, fifth. He was fifth. Where did he finish at the John Deere? I'm just looking. 67 was the previous. He shot 68, 65, 65 at the TPC Deer Run. Powered Callum Harron to fifth place after 54 holes, where a 70 on Sunday saw him cash 248. I think he finished sixth, yeah. Again, a guy that's lower down in the FedEx Cup fighting, like Gligich, fighting for privileges for next year. So I think those two, I mean, I've gone for Tarran, you're going for Gligich. I think there's worse bets out there at triple digits, those two.
The Bet365, their matrix pricing, if we'll call it that for the time being, I think they're starting to get a handle on it as well, or at least from a punter's perspective. So looking at Taran here, he's 110 for 8 places, and then he's 125 for 10 places, 1/7 the odds. So when you break that down in your place payout, Steve, it's nearly 18-1 for your bet for 8 places, and sorry, it's 22-1 for your place, for your places bet, and then nearly 18-1 if you took him for 10 places.
Yeah. It's so, something that's certainly caught my eye over the last couple of weeks on Bet365.
Yeah.
Very interesting. You can basically choose. It's each way extra functionality, they call it.
Yeah, and you have to. It has to be in each way. You can't just take the price that's available for a single on the nose.
No,
that's kind of in the title. Yes, yeah, each way extra. Yeah. But yes,
yeah.
You can't just say, "Oh, I'll take the 110 win only." I think they clocked on to that one. So yeah, you're on Gligage at that 110. I'm on Taran at 110. I've got two others: Wyndham Clark. He needs to grow a set, but there's undoubtedly better things coming from Wyndham Clark at the moment. I'm seeing him hitting greens. I'm seeing him ranking quite highly at some tournaments, strokes gained tee to green. And two things we know about Wyndham Clark. He bangs the ball a hell of a long way off the tee, and he's a very proficient putter. So I'm on him at 50-1 here. Not the best price in the world, but I think the bookmakers are on to him. 10th at the Zurich team event, 7th at the Canadian Open, 16th at the Scottish Open a couple of weeks ago grabbed my attention. And then someone like Wyndham Clark goes and actually makes the cut at the Open. It just kind of raised... There's something good coming for Wyndham Clark. And I've absolutely told myself, Wyndham Clark is in this week, and Wyndham Clark, if he plays, is definitely playing next week at the Rocket Mortgage for me. I think something's coming for Wyndham. So I'm on him at 50-1 this week. I will also be on him at the Rocket Mortgage. That course feels perfect. I think both of these courses feel perfect for him. Bombers Golf Course is in the main. The other one, I did go for Chris Gotterup because I know how golf betting works. Banged him up at the Barbasol. The bloke turned up at the golf course about, 2:30 Wednesday afternoon. Oh, I've been on the beach at home and feel a bit tired. Have you had a look at the golf course? No, I haven't looked at the golf course. I might hop on a buggy and have a look round it this afternoon. And you're just reading this interview and you're just shaking your head going, oh my God. So I don't know who told him to go there, why he went there, why he didn't withdraw. Anyway, he shouldn't have been there. He's now rested. He's a talented boy, this Gutterup. 43rd at the US Open, 35th at the Travelers, 4th at the John Deere Classic. Still fighting for special temporary PGA Tour membership. We saw Wolf one here doing the same kind of thing. Morikawa at that stage did that. We've seen it so many times now, these youngsters that just come on the scene late summer, just start stringing results together to get special temporary membership. I'm on him at 50-1, Gotterup. So those are my five. Tigala. I've got Cam Davis, Chris Gotterup, Wyndham Clark, and Callum Taran. Is that us, chaps, on the 3M Open? Shall we move across the Atlantic?
Yeah, I've got nothing. You got anything else, Barry?
Nope, let's move it.
Cool. Right, yeah, Kazoo Classic.
Let's move to Southport, Paul.
Yes.
Let's get there.
Let's move to sunny Southport. Yeah. Kazoo Classic, second renewal of this event, actually. Last year it was won by Callum Hill. Now, that was held at the London Golf Club. So do bear that in mind. We're moving to Hillside, as Steve just said. That hosted the 2019 British Masters. Right, so just to clarify that, if you're looking at the stats this week on the site, and we've only got the combined stats because there's only last year to go for in terms of the renewal, you've also got 2019 on that data, which is the course form, 2021, which is the event form. So in short, if you're looking at the stats this week, look at 2019. That is Hillside Golf Club. That's the most relevant stats, I think, for this week. With that wrapped up, it does get a bit confusing on the DP World Tour when they change the names of these events and then use courses that have been used for different events in the recent past. It all gets very confusing. Anyway, back to the bread and butter, really, aren't we, in the DP World Tour. It's 144-man field, although when I was pulling all the stats together yesterday, only 139 players have been declared and there were no alternates in the field either. So I think there's going to be a few late invites. You got a few days to go and play over in Southport, Barry. You might be able to get a start if you knock on the door and ask the right person. Perhaps that had a few...
Put in a word for me. Yeah, everybody could do with a good laugh.
I think you probably do all right. So maybe we'll get up to the 144-man field by the time we start. We shall see. €1.75 million prize fund. So that puts into context. It's one of those second... I've described it as the second rung from the bottom in terms of the status on the DP World Tour. So pretty low. That's reflected really by the entry list and the odds. Bob McIntyre is the favourite, 12-1. Oliver Becker, 20s. Tristan Lawrence is 20-1 also. Adrian Ategi, 22s. Roman Langask, 22-1. Thorbjørn Olsen, 25-1. He's been backed heavily. Eduardo Molinari, 25s. Richie Ramsey, also been backed heavily. He's available right now at 28-1 in places, but he looks like he'll go off closer to 22-1, I'd imagine, given the level of support that's coming in for Richie at the moment. If you're looking for bookmakers, Boyles, Coral and Ladbrokes are all eight places, a fifth of the odds. So do check their prices out. As Steve alluded to a second ago, there's also this each way extra proposition for Bet365. They're also running it for the Gazoo Classic. It wasn't up and running when I put my preview out yesterday, which is a shame because I could have picked and bet some players at different odds and different combinations. But it's there now for listeners and users of Bet365. So do check it out. There's some good prices and combinations on there. The course, Hillside Golf Club. I said a second ago, it hosted the British Masters back in 2019. That was won by Marcus Kinholt. He was a 175-1 shot that week. Before that, the last time we saw the course was back in 1982 on what was then the European Tour. The seniors have played it since in 2013. There's also a bit of open qualifying form from 2014 through 2017, but it's pretty sparse otherwise. In terms of the course setup, we're sticking with links. We've got another links course. This is a proper links golf course as well. We're going to Fairmont St Andrews next week, so we've got some more linksy coastal golf to come for next week as well, which is nice to see. This course, Hillside, sits on the same stretch of land. It's the Gulf Coast over there on the west side of the UK. Same bit stretch of land that includes the likes of Royal Lytham and St Anne's, Royal Birkdale, which backs onto the course as well. So it's proper old school Lynx land that's been developed. And I guess the changes since we last saw it, it was last time in 2019, a sub 7,000 yard course. It looks like it's been extended. It's been listed at the moment as a 7,109 yard par 72. That's still not overly long, really, is it? You know, and unless we get a deluge between now and when the play starts, which is looking increasingly unlikely from the forecast I saw this morning, it should again play firm and fast. They've had not quite the same level of heat that we've had over in the southeast of the England in the last few days, but it's certainly been hot up there in the northwest. So it should play firm and fast. Typical Lynx-y style as well. Pop bunkers, long fescue. Quite classical, actually, this one. There's a lot of dog legs. And certainly not a pushover. If you look at the 2019 event, 16 under was the winning total from Kinholt. Fifth place was on 12 under. So you didn't have to go far down into the list before you got players in single digits under par who were still playing, still placing in strong enough positions on the overall leaderboard. And if you got four par fives, none of them longer than 565 yards. So outside of those, it suggests that the course does present a fairly stiff challenge. Particularly if you're not taking advantage of those par fives. Now, in terms of the temperature, and of course this is coastal golf, so we do need to consider what's happening with the wind. In terms of the forecast, today, Tuesday, is the last day of the really hot temperatures over here in England and the UK. After that, we should be back down into what, the low 70s Fahrenheit, so it's the low 20s centigrade. You might get a slight shower looking at the most recent forecast, but I doubt there's going to be any significant rain. So, as I said, firm and fast. Wind, 10 miles an hour, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You might get up to 15 miles an hour on Sunday, but again, for a coastal course, that's nothing overly excessive. So in that respect, I don't think it's going to be massively difficult from a wind perspective. I think the real challenge of the course will be underfoot with firm tight lies and firm running fairways and tough greens potentially. Going back to 2019, you could look at last year's Kazoo Classic London Golf Club, but really I don't see any relevance in that. I've used all of my research has been based on that 2019 British Masters. The top five here back then, for reference, Marcus Kinnell, Robert McIntyre was second. He's the favourite this week, of course. Eddie Pepperell was second as well. He's been quite heavily backed this week. Bit erratic, Eddie, as we know, but certainly capable on a linksy coastal course when he's playing his best golf. Matt Wallace was also tied for second that week. Richie Ramsey was the fifth placed finisher. So that gives you a bit of a flavour, very Northern European biased in terms of that leaderboard. Length of the tee wasn't an issue. Matt Wallace was the longest off the tee back then in 2019. He was 30th. So again, a relatively short course. Suggests it's more about positional play and a bit of strategy rather than just out and out bombing. I think the only real stat that you can pick out of that data from 3 years ago was putting. In old school stats, all five of those top five finishers finished inside the top 24 for putts per greens in regulation. Kinnell was second for strokes gained putting. McIntyre was fourth for strokes gained putting. I think you've got to make some putts here. That seems to be the order of the day. Talked about the par fives. Kinnell was also 12 under for the par fives. The 16 under total, 12 under of that came from par fives. Wallace was also 12 under. McIntyre was 11 under. I think you've got to take advantage of these long holes and try and hang on for the rest of the course is pretty much the summary of this. Other than that, I don't think you can read much into Kinnell's form. He'd missed four cuts on the trot coming into this. So miscut, win. That doesn't really help anyone out, I don't think. Explains his price, of course, 175-1, but there's not going to give you a great deal of clues, I don't think. So other than that, you've only really got that event to go on, and there's not much else you can dig into, I don't think. I think you're just going to have to play it with some gut feel this week. I've kept it quite tight on the back of that. I've backed just four, and I've looked at the top of the market. McIntyre's the favourite. I can see that. We've got a fantastic major record now. He maintained that last week. Never missed a cut at a major. I looked at his post-major performances, and for the two majors that he's played so far this year, he's missed the cut in his subsequent event both times. So just not for me. 34th last week is actually the best performance of any of the field in terms of their Open Championship performance coming into this week. But he's played a lot of golf, McIntyre. I can't have him at 12-1, just not for me. I was quite tempted on Thriston Lawrence, having seen him on the leaderboard last week, but then when I saw his price, second favourite this week, really, really didn't fancy that. I do actually prefer Thriston on Parkland-style courses rather than Linksy as well. So, both of those scrubbed off the list. The first one I backed as a result of all of that was Thorbjørn Olsen. 28-1, I got him yesterday on the preview. He's been backed in, he's been tipped in a few places. 25-1 is the best price at the moment, but I still think that's good. He got his career back on track in the end, didn't he, with that win at the Belfry. Only just got over, eagle birdie finish to win at the Belfry, having seemingly thrown it away and then grappled it back over the last two holes. But that's got his career back on track, I'm sure. Became a father recently, and that whole British Airways flight incident, which now has been resolved, it's got to be a thing of the past, I think, in terms of Olsen's history and the way that he approaches the rest of his career. Now, that was actually his sixth career win at the Belfry. If you look at some of his other wins, Vidura, he won the Sicilian Open back in 2012. That's a Linksy-style course. He won the Alfred Dunhill Links back in 2015. I vaguely remember you being on him at some obscene price that week as well, Steve. He kind of came on that off the back of very little form, but so there's a bit more tangible form here this week. I think, yeah, really, you look at those, he's got the credentials for another Lynx win. Eighth at the Irish Open recently, top strokes gained putting that week, which is something I've been looking for in my team this week. 30th last time out of the Scottish, didn't play the Open, 30th at the Scottish Open. He topped the driving accuracy stat this week. That week. Another interesting point with Olsen is if you can pick out these kind of micro trends with Olsen and something's really firing in his game, the putter or the driver, if he can find any kind of spark with the irons this week, he could go really, really close to winning that lucky seventh.
How many times has he won on the DP World Tour, Odeon?
Six now, so this will be seven, yeah.
So if you look at that top of that betting board, McIntyre, Becker, Thurston, Lawrence, Langask, Torbjörn Olsen, Eduardo Molinari.
Yep.
He's by far the most winningest player out of anyone in this field, I'd suggest.
Yeah, well, Eduardo's got a few but older, further back, hasn't he? But the other guys you just mentioned won at best, aren't they?
I mean, how many's Richie Ramsey won over the years? Not that many, I'd say.
Yeah, I struggle with Ramsey. Someone asked me the question on Twitter the other day, and it's undoubtedly playing some better stuff. And, you know, he was fifth here on the course back in 2019, so you could put two and two together. But what is an almost identical price, I think I would much rather have Olsen over Ramsey.
Personally. Just on a pure win equity basis, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You get these players that go through peaks and troughs in their careers, and Olsen seems to me that he's on that kind of side of peaking back towards something that could be towards his best. I mean, at his best, he was well inside the world's top 50.
He's right a couple, so, wouldn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's a capable lad. And, you know, there's been external stuff that's held him back. We, you know, it's well documented. We don't need to run through that. But, you know, in terms of his actual golf playing and his form, that win at the Belfry's got to give him a stack of confidence, particularly in the way that he managed to get over the line in the end. And, I'd say this fits him very nicely indeed. So I was quite happy to take Olsen. Also quite happy to take Sammy Valimaki. I've got an early 50-1. There's 45 still out there at the moment. I expect you'll go off between 33s and 40s. So if you fancy a bit of Sammy earlier rather than later is probably the way to play him. And he's been a real eye-catcher lately in terms of his stats. It seemed to have turned the corner. He lost, from his own words, lost the enjoyment in the game, having won the Oman Open back a couple of years ago, which is strange, really, for a guy who's so young and so capable. But started to improve. Showed a couple of early season signs, a couple of top 20s. And I remember backing him. I'm sure it must have been the Qatar Masters where I backed him for a similar kind of logic to this week. After he'd finished, he'd strung a couple of top 20s together in the space of two or three starts. I think he finished 40th that week, so didn't actually do anything for me. But in more recent times, he started to show some form. Fourth at the BMW International Open, 30th at the Irish, 24th at the Scottish Open in the last few weeks. Total driving is the number that really sticks out to me. And I know it's an old traditional stat, and it's been surpassed by a lot of these strokes gained data since, but it's still something that I tend to look at just for sparks. And he has finished fifth and third for total driving over that stretch of events. With that, strokes gained tee to green has also been positive all three events as well, and that's a big step forward. If you look to where he was struggling when his game seemingly had gone, a lot of it was just his strokes gained tee to green, his long game, his total driving, all of it was just down the pan. It appears that he's found that and got that back, which is the signal that I've been looking for. Because we know he can putt, we know he's a really good putter. He was first for strokes gained putting in Germany. He was first for strokes gained putting at the Olympics last year, finished 27th. I think combine that putting with a longer game, which is really starting to fire, he could go well this week at a decent mid price. And this week reminds me, the level of the play reminds me a lot of that Oman Open win where he got himself over the line. So, yeah, I thought anywhere between 40 and 50 to 1 is a decent enough price from Sammy Valimaki this week. Two longer prices. Ewan Ferguson, I backed 80-1. He got over the line in the end of Qatar earlier this year. That was his first DP World Tour title. Always a decent barometer for Lynx Golf, that track over in Doha in Qatar. It's always one that I tend to go back and use as a as just a note for players that could play well on Lynx tracks further down the line. I know it's Middle East, but there's certainly some correlation there. Now, if you look back at Ewan Ferguson, before that, he'd blown a 4-shot lead in Kenya a few weeks before. He talked in an interview afterwards, you know, he was obviously disappointed, as you would be. He talked about how he'd use that experience the next time he's in contention to his benefit. And so it proved. He got himself over the line in Qatar in impressive style. Since then, he's been starting well and not really finishing it off. Top 20 after day one on 5 of his last 6 starts. Have been starting really nicely and then just kind of drifting away. And I wonder if he can put it all together this week on a course that should suit. Lynx Golf should suit him. He was 17th at the Dunhill Lynx last year. He won the Boys Amateur Championship down the road at Hoylake, down the coast at Hoylake as a 17-year-old a few years ago. So he's got some good Lynx credentials, Ewan Ferguson, coupled out with the Qatar Masters win. And I think he'd go well at 80s. And the final one is far longer. Dimitrios Papadatos at 350-1. Just a small punt on the Greek Australian. Now, perhaps he can follow or take some inspiration, I guess, from his compatriot, or how would you describe a Greek Australian semi-compatriot to Cam Smith's effort last week over at St Andrews. Now he was there at St Andrews actually. He qualified for the Open, having won the Vic Open back in February. Now you remember the Vic Open? That's the one that played at 13th Beach. They used to, for a while, it was co-sanctioned with the DP World, or what was then the European Tour. On its own now, back on the Australasian tour. But he won there in February. That got him a spot in the Open this year. He'd also won previously at 13th Beach at the Vic Open. So he's got 2 wins there, coastal Lynx-y style course. He was also second to Abraham Ansah at the 2018 Australian Open. Now, that was at the Lakes course in Sydney, which is another really good pointer for coastal Lynx-y style golf as well, I think. And that was in decent company as well. If you look at his recent form, there's not a great deal there. He's been pretty quiet over the last few weeks, and that's why you're getting this monumental 350-1. But prior to that, he's got 3 top 10 finishes in 2022, as well as that win that I've described. Plus, he played here back in 2019 at the British Masters, finished 15th. So for a player so far down the betting board, I was quite happy to take a small punt on Dimitrios Papadatos at 350. So Papadatos, I've probably mulled his name there again. Papadatos 350, Ewan Ferguson 80-1, and Sami Välimäki 50s, and Thorbjørn Olesen at 28-1, my 4 for this week. Barry, you plucked any winners out of this? Or a winner?
I've also backed Ferguson. I hadn't read your preview.
He sounds a good first round leader pick as well, from what you're saying. Yeah. 60-1 I'm seeing. Seven places each way with Boyle's first round leader, Ferguson.
Yeah. He gets a decent tee time, yeah.
As soon as Paul says he's been getting off to a hot start recently, I was like, auto bet the first round leader. he'll probably be 78th or whatever this time round, but yeah. Makes a lot of sense. Nothing more to add. And the only other one I'm adding is Niall Carney from Ireland. Patriot bet.
If I would have had a 5th bet, Barry, it would have been Niall Carney. I was really close. I just wanted to keep my card quite tight this week, post-major. There's something percolating with him. There's a bit of form bubbling away under the surface there. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him go well.
Yeah, we shall see. That's my lot for the week. Just the 2.
Mm. I've got 2 comments to make.
Go on.
I might do a Bobby Mack T2 double each way. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, you can see it. You could see them both in the frame, and you play, you know, if they both finish, if you get extended places, both finish in the top 6, 7, whatever, you'll end up with a half decent return.
I can see that. So I might do a Bobby Mack, T2, Tony, double each way. And then I was just, you know me, I'm completely anally retentive when it comes to golf and golf betting. I absolutely love the micro detail because I'm just sad like that. Jamie Lovemark.
Mm.
Jamie Lovemark is in this field.
Yeah. Why?
So I had a quick look on the old official world golf ranking. He has been playing irregularly, the Corn Ferry. And he had a run at it recently. He's played, five events in 6 weeks. Miscut, 37th, 11th in Wichita, miscut in the main open. And he's now playing the Kazoo Classic. So fair play to him. I'd love to shake his hand and thank him for coming over and playing a bit of DP World Tour golf. But yeah, that's a name on a betting, but I have not seen for years, Jamie Lovemark.
Mm.
I can remember when he used to go off at 16 to 1 in second division PGA Tour events and disappoint every time. he was a bit like a kind of earlier Patrick Rogers character. Mm. Always looked great statistically.
And, never did it.
Yeah, it wasn't so great. Yeah, Jamie Lovemark. That took me by surprise, that though.
Yeah, no, it wasn't one I was expecting on the entry list. He must be on holiday still.
Who's going to be the next Tory leader, Paul? Do you have a bet on that?
No, politics not my game, mate.
No. I think that's us then, chaps, yeah?
Yeah, all good. All good. Best of luck, guys.
Good luck, boys.
Best of luck to you too. Best of luck to the listeners. Again, if anyone's got an answer, anyone can add some clarity to that FedEx. Because again, Steve, Ainley Retentive, I'd love to know what's happening with these FedEx Cup rankings and clearly what they're going to do with them. Because we've got players in there that aren't going to be playing in the FedEx Cup or having PGA Tour cards in the future. So anyway, get back to me if you've got any kind of answer on that. That'd be most appreciative. We'll be back next week. What have you got next week, Paul?
It's the Hero Open at Fairmont St. Andrews.
That's right. And we've got the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit, which I'm rather looking forward to, actually. So we will see you then. Cheerio. Enjoy your golf betting.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf.